Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It's the Weekly Worldview. We're back. Welcome back. It's been a little while, but we took a road trip and got distracted by life and other things. And now we're back. It's the show. We don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week. And for that, we're going to begin this week in the Bad Religion file. And for the Bad Religion file, we go to Germany. That's right, Germany, where earlier this year, maybe late last year, I can't remember exactly when it was, but we reported on the Deviant Pride Fest event in Cologne, where a million men basically stripped naked and painted themselves like a bunch of pagans and marched along in a serpentine fashion. A million homosexual pervs. Yeah, Bad Religion. Germany, that's the one. That's the one. Well, in Germany this week, we have a German energy company, RWE. They're dismantling a wind farm adjacent to their coal mine in order to expand coal mining operations. I'll give you a second to chuckle, because the irony is, well, it's not only obvious to you and me, it's obvious to the spokesperson for RWE, which I don't know, Reichswell Energy, or I don't know. RWE spokesperson Guido? Okay, first of all, it's spokesperson because we're not allowed to say spokesman anymore, because that's gender discomforting. Gender uncomfortable, gender offensive, I don't know. It's unacceptable to imply that anything can be or is being done by a man. That's insulting. And it scares people. It reminds people there might be men around and men are scary. So we call Guido the spokesperson. So we don't know if Guido's a man. We don't know if Guido's a German. Doesn't sound like he's German. Guido Steffen. Okay. Anyway, we're going to say spokesman Guido, and we're not going to question his ethnicity because that would be rude. Guido says, "We realize this comes across as paradoxical. What with the dismantling of the wind farm, the expansion of the coal mine, yes, but this is as matters stand. This is where we find ourselves. Paradoxical. Paradoxical. It's Guido. It's not paradoxical. Don't be embarrassed. It's not paradoxical at all if you don't want to freeze. I mean, if you don't want to freeze to death this winter, you're going to need real energy. Not make-believe, pretend energy. The kind of energy that only powers leftist virtue signaling. That kind of energy is not going to keep you from freezing this winter, Guido. You're not going to be able to virtue signal your way above 32 degrees Fahrenheit long enough to survive the winter. You're going to need to burn some coal, and which they're going to do, apparently. So it looks like virtue signaling is not yet worth dying for in Europe. They're not yet willing to give their lives to save the planet. They call themselves a movement, for crying out loud. If you're not willing to die to save the planet, what kind of hypocrite are you? All right. Anyway, give them a little bit of time, though. Give them a few more years over there in Europe of their religious indoctrination, focusing on pronouns and sexual perversion and climate hysteria. And before too long, they'll not only be willing to die for the planet. In fact, I'll bet more likely they'll be ready to kill for it. They'll be ready to kill anyone who's not willing to die for it. Because it's the religion. It's their religion. And so this is an affront to the religious order, this dismantling of a wind farm. It's akin to vandalizing a church to the leftist cult that has seized the levers of power and the organs. It's creepy and but that's kind of funny. But so we got to move on. All right, so I went to the grocery store with my extremely attractive audio engineer. And we were shopping for groceries, and I noticed that there's a slight uptick in the number of people wearing masks. Yes, I said masks. I know I haven't said that on the show in a long time, but here we are. So I said to my extremely attractive audio engineer, I said, "You notice there's more people wearing masks?" And she said something like, "Well, I try not to notice because it's maddening. Could you just shut up? Put some vegetables in the bag. Come on." So, but I have noticed. And by the way, I don't even count, middle-aged women or Asian women in the mix anymore, because they're permanently damaged. They're never coming back. So I'm not going to count them anymore. They're the baseline. The middle-aged woman who's upset about the wrinkles in her mid-face, and so she's wearing a mask, or the Asian woman who just, I don't know what the deal is with them. They're just going to wear the masks. And Asian men, yeah, they're the baseline. That's never going to go away. So I take that out of the calculation, but I'm noticing more, right? And so now I can tell you why. I can tell you why, and I can bring it to you from Yahoo News. I have a Yahoo email that I use primarily when I have to sign up for something that I don't ever want to hear from those people again. That's why I set this thing up, and it was like my alternative email that I used like that. You probably have something like that. Back in the day, it could be a fake email, but now they can tell it's fake, and so you have to give them a real email in order to get some information or something, right? So I have my Yahoo address that I go to, and I notice whenever I log on to yahoo.com, I get the obligatory news of the day headlines, properly filtered and churned through the leftist propaganda filter. I get to see the news that most Americans see. Now, I have my normal news sources are right-wing and Christian, generally speaking. But then I go to the news that most of the average morons get, which is, that's almost everybody. Almost everybody gets to see the news as churned and pushed and pinched through the leftist propaganda machine. And that's what I see at Yahoo News. And I went and I saw this headline. Scientists fear. That's just right there. Scientists fear. And every hapless moron in America clinches a little bit. And oh, no. And then when they recover their wits, they muster up the courage to read on. Scientists fear new COVID strains are deadly. Just like 2020. Terrifying. Terrifying. The average American reads it. He's got a mask in one hand. He's reaching for the hydrochloroquine. Oh, no. If they have a mask, they don't have the hydrochloroquine. I get that. If they have the mask, what else? What would they have in their other hand? No, that's it. They have they got the mask in one hand, and they got the squirt of the sanitizer in the other. That's right. Start squirting their computer screen with hand sanitizer before they can even get through the headline. And then they do muster up the courage to read on. The new COVID-19 subvariants that are becoming dominant all over the world aren't just more contagious than previous variants and subvariants. They might cause more severe disease, too. Oh, no! Anyway, they slipped the word might there in the middle, but that doesn't matter. Because they got the deadly and they got the subvariants, contagious. They got all the big words in that very first sentence. They slipped a little mite in the middle because this might not be true at all. In fact, based on our 500 years of experience with infectious disease in the modern scientific age, it's extraordinarily unlikely that any of what you're about to hear is true. Extraordinarily unlikely. Unless there's germ warfare going on. Anyway, the next paragraph, I don't have to read the paragraph. I just want to give you some of the words that are in the paragraph. Ominous. Global wave. Surge of infections. Hospitalizations. Deaths. Death, I said death. And I don't have to tell you the other words that are around those words, because those are the words that matter. The leftist propaganda filter machine extrudes those words and puts some other words around them, but those are the words they want the average hysterical, fearful, pathetic American to see, because they want us to be afraid.
They're like
heavy
metal bands.
Yeah.
Name, right?
Like a heavy metal band's name. That's right.
Death.
Hospitalization and death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Black Sabbath. Yeah, they just got to get the keywords. That's all that really matters. Okay, now the article continues, though, as if you weren't already terrified enough. It could be like 2020 or 2021 all over again. Failing to mention that 2020 and 2021 weren't nearly as bad as they said it was going to be, ever. Not even close. It was a bad cold that killed sick people, old people. Not that that ever happened before. There's never been, no. Anyway, but it did manage to terrify and freak out the medical community enough to where they abandoned everything they ever knew about treating a cold virus. They forgot everything they ever knew, and they started sticking people on ventilators. And well, we'll get to some of that. Yeah, that was the horrible part of 2020 and 2021. Anyway. The article concludes, vaccines and therapies have allowed most people all over the world to get back to some kind of normal over the past year or so. But if BQ1 or another highly fusogenic subvariant recouples infections and deaths, that new normal could become a new nightmare. A nightmare! More hospitalizations! More death! More death! And then... Now, right in the very middle of the article, by the way, there were a couple of other words. Here's three words that were in the middle of the article. The vaccines work. That's in the middle of the article. So anyway, it just goes to show that the hysteria machine has to be harmonically balanced with the big lie propaganda machine that the vaccine, they can't leave that part out. We want you to be terrified. Everyone's going to die, but the vaccines still work. And so at some point, cognitive dissonance has to set in and you have to be going, well, wait a second. This doesn't seem on the level. This doesn't seem on the up and up. There's going to be more deaths and more hospitalizations. Ominous, a surge, and deaths and death, and the vaccines work. All right. But it seems that despite the harmonic balance between the propaganda machine and the hysteria machine, that the government has succeeded in causing people, modern people, to fear winter. People are afraid of winter. And all it takes is a little bit here and a little tweak there. And it could be that my crazy pessimistic thought that these people would never give up this power, never in a million years would they give it up. And then I thought they had given it up. It almost looked like they were giving it up. And now it looks like maybe I wasn't pessimistic enough.
Your prize, you're dead. Guess what?
That's right. That's right. It's from the, I think that band is called Ominous Black. Ominous Black. Be scared. Be very scared. Yeah. Ominous Mask. Maskless. The scariest of all. Okay. Now, from there, from the hysteria and all that, the propaganda, we go into the Abolition of Man file, where Summit News reports that millions of U.S. citizens were given a COVID-19 decree violation score. A COVID-19 decree violation score as a result of data harvesting conducted by a voter analytics firm, called PredictWise. This is a left-wing Democrat voter analytic firm. And they kept track of people who were on the go more often than their neighbors during the lockdowns. Yeah, the data collected was then used by PredictWise to help Democrats target 350,000 COVID-concerned Republicans with campaign ads relating to virus prevention measures. Now, why would Democrats want to reach Republicans with campaign ads related to virus prevention measures? Why would there be campaign ads related to virus protection measures? That seems odd. Because if this was a public health crisis, the ads about virus prevention measures wouldn't be considered campaign ads, would they? Or was this a campaign, mostly? Was this mostly a campaign set up on the back of what turned out to be a relatively modest pandemic? Relatively modest in the big picture. Yes, some people got sick. Yes, some people died. I know that. I said that was going to happen. Some of us are going to get sick and some of us are going to die. Now, let's not freak out about it, is what I said. And so that happened, and the cell phone data was being monitored in real time. Listen to this. PredictWise understood that there were potential pockets of voters to target with COVID-19 messaging that turned high-dimensional data covering over 100 million Americans into measures of adherence to COVID-19 restrictions during deep lockdown. Deep lockdown. That's what they said in their white paper. They wrote a white paper on this. So it's as if we are lab rats, and they're writing white papers about how we behave. And it appears to me that this Democrat, leftist, socialist, communist, rotten, horrible, awful, evil voter analytics firm, PredictWise, they believed, or they observed, perhaps, that Republicans who were obeying the lockdowns were more likely to respond favorably to leftist, communist, Democrat propaganda. And I would bet that's true, generally speaking, that if you were a Republican hiding in your house, scared, that you were more likely to be able to be converted to be a Democrat. And apparently it worked. They found 40,000 persuasion targets for in the Senate race for Arizona Senate candidate Mark Kelly, and he was subsequently elected. Now, we don't know if the two are in direct relationship to one another, that they got him elected, but they found 40,000 Republicans that they were willing to spend campaign advertising money targeting. Why? Because they complied with the lockdown. Summit News highlighted throughout the COVID lockdowns, warning us that components of the surveillance grid were weaponized against ordinary people, and now we have the evidence. It's not a secret conspiracy. They wrote a white paper about it. They gathered your data and they gave you a score. And by the way, my extremely attractive audio engineer and I, if they gave us a score, we got a bad score. We were not compliant. In fact, we found a reason to leave our property. We left the compound every single day during the first 2 weeks. I think that's what they call deep lockdown. Deep lockdown. We were locked down so deep that we went to Home Depot Every day.
Liquor store.
Yeah, went to the liquor store every day.
No, we didn't.
We went to the donut shop every other day.
No.
We went and gave blood.
Yeah,
all right, we didn't go to the liquor store every day. We didn't actually go to the donut shop every other day. That's an exaggeration. We did go to Home Depot almost every day. That's right, because we built a staircase out of bricks and railroad ties. All right, now, and by the way, during the first 2 weeks at Home Depot, nobody was wearing a mask. I remember that. You know why they weren't wearing a mask? Because the government said, don't, it won't help. But then we all forgot about that, and we all, anyway, I was shocked to find N95s in my friends' cars. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is worse than I thought. Anyway, so so here we have hard evidence that they call it the surveillance state. I don't necessarily have a problem with the surveillance state. I don't have a problem with the government having the ability to watch every move you make if they need to, because you might be a criminal, and if they need to catch you, I want them to catch you. So I'm not fundamentally opposed to the idea that the government should have the ability to find you if they want you. Now, because the government has been hijacked by criminally insane sex perverts, then, well, it does become a problem. Don't get me wrong. But we need to do something about the criminally insane sex perverts, not the powers of the government that they justly have. The problem is with the sex perverts. All right. But this technology that's described in this white paper is the same technology that the folks at True the Vote used to make the case in that movie, 2000 Mules. And now I'm even more convinced that that movie proves that not only that the surveillance technology is real. I already knew that because people pay money for the data already. They pay real money for real data so they can target real potential customers. So the data is real. The surveillance technology, it's all real. But what this establishes even more firmly in my mind is that the 2020 election was actually stolen right there in front of God and everybody, right in our face. It was actually stolen. And the folks at True the Vote, they pretty much gave us the roadmap of exactly how it was stolen in the movie 2000 Mules. I'm not pumping up the movie. You don't have to watch it. I didn't need to watch it. I watched it in real time. I went to bed. Trump was winning. I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh, wow. That's something's not right. You're an election denier. No, I don't deny there was an election. I just deny that what's his name? Joe Biden won it. I have a Joe Biden moment right there. Can't remember Joe Biden's name. Joe Biden's dementia is so bad, it's spreading to me. I can't remember who he is. It's a wave. It's a surge. It's contagious. All right. Now, from there, we go to the Truth Comes Out file. More on COVID, believe it or not. Citizens have begun filing lawsuits alleging negligence in the prescribing of remdesivir to treat COVID-19 because they want to make the case that it was the remdesivir and the hysterically awful treatment protocols that either killed or contributed significantly to the deaths of tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people who didn't have to die. The lawsuits allege doctors engaged in fraud by prescribing remdesivir without their knowledge or consent. Doctors also failed to explain that the drug is ineffective in treating COVID-19, is toxic to the kidneys, and can cause death. And I am certain that there is enough legitimacy that these cases should go to trial. I'm not willing to accuse anyone of purposely killing or murdering anyone. But I think the case for negligent homicide, possibly fraud, that case needs to be examined. I have a law. Let's see. I have a quote. in COVID-19 healthcare circles across the country. Listen to this, folks. And if you've ever worked in a hospital or around healthcare people, you'll know what I'm about to say is true. You'll know it. Instinctively, you'll know it's true. In COVID-19 health circles across the country, remdesivir has carried the nickname Run Death Is Near. Run Death Is Near is what the nurses and the doctors at the hospital called it. Run Death Is Near. Uh-huh. That's according to testimony documented in the civil complaint. Seeks unspecified damages and alleges that remdesivir is medically unnecessary for the treatment of COVID-19, which I believe has been proven already. And I believe it was proven in clinical trials to not be effective at very much of anything except damaging your liver. The World Health Organization issued a recommendation in November 2020 against remdesivir, saying there's no evidence the drug improves survival or shortens the recovery. November of 2020, the World Health Organization realized that remdesivir didn't work. Why did the Western world, the entire Western world, the foundation of modern medicine, why did they keep injecting people with this drug? As late as August, September of 2021, as far as I know personally, they were still injecting people with this drug. Gilead Sciences, which manufactures remdesivir, maintains that the drug is an effective treatment for COVID-19. And when you ask them to prove it, they cannot. Because there is no evidence. There is no evidence that remdesivir did anything for anyone, except it made the folks at Gilead money. The attorneys who represent the plaintiffs in the cases that I will link to say the following, quote, "Physicians are killing hospitalized COVID-19 patients by eliminating choice of treatments and using a deadly protocol without patient knowledge or consent." He said, "We intend to hold the physicians and hospitals accountable for this atrocity." And here's the bottom line, folks. If you have someone in your family who's older or sick or is one of the people for whom COVID-19 can be and is a serious life-threatening infection, if you have a family member like that and they end up in the hospital and the doctor is telling you what to do, it really doesn't matter if he asks for your consent or gives you all the information, because as a lay person, you are simply incapable of determining what's the best thing to do for the patient. You don't know. That's why you bring them to the hospital. The doctors are supposed to know. Yes, they should give you consent. Yes, they should get your consent. Yes, they should give you the information. But the doctor first has to know what to do himself. And if he knows what to do and he didn't do it, which, if I'm not mistaken, we all knew what to do up until March of 2020. We all knew what to do with a severe cold or a flu-like infection in a person who was vulnerable. We all knew what to do. Why did we forget what to do? I'm angry about this. And so hopefully they will be held responsible somehow, someday. But I predict that these lawsuits, they'll go nowhere, because everyone alive now is going to have to be dead before the truth of what happened ever comes out. Because there's too much blood on too many hands, and too much money was exchanged, and too much downright evil and conniving wickedness was carried out on innocent people. All right, but I hope the truth comes out. The truth always comes out, by the way. In this life or the next, and it always comes out in this life, by the way. But we all might have to be dead, and there are well organized powers that be making sure that we all get there as soon as possible. Worldview, and I'm your host. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us, folks. We go from the truth comes out, the hope that the truth comes out file. And the truth does always come out. Always. It'll come out in this life or it'll come out in the next. And it always comes out in this life, at least heretofore. And so the truth will come out. But from there, we go to the murder-suicide file, where we have an article from the Daily Mail. A man wanted in connection for four murders was found dead in the Arizona desert. Hunter Allen McGuire, 26 years old, was found with his girlfriend after an apparent murder-suicide. The killer and his girlfriend were on the run, accused of shooting Georgia Ann Sherman, a woman the killer had been temporarily living with, which is a nice way to say they were shacking up. Surveillance footage and photos linked the killer to another double homicide in Kingman, Arizona. Retta Atkins and Darren Van Houten were found shot and killed. And then there's another homicide in Golden Valley, 35-year-old Martin Eric Nelson. Murdered in just a rampage, a violent, bloody rampage that ends in a murder-suicide. Why am I doing this story? Well, it's just the average daily murder-suicide crime spree that we've all become numb to after witnessing so many over and over and over. And having witnessed the murder of 75, maybe 100 million of our own children just in my lifetime here in America. I mean, with that much murder in our midst, life gets cheap. And when life gets cheap, life gets taken. Life gets taken. And there's a big taking coming. This generation will not escape the reckoning due for the murder of the 75 to 100 million here in America. There's a reckoning coming for that. A billion innocent children intentionally murdered across the world in my lifetime. My generation will not escape the reckoning due for that. Be prepared. It is coming. The blood cries out to God from the ground. God stated that as a fact in Genesis, and that fact was never repealed. That reality never changed. There is a reckoning coming. And God's justice will not be mocked. Now, here on earth, justice is mocked painfully to a ridiculous level on a daily basis in courtrooms all across America and the Western world. For an example, we go to the trial of the Waukesha Christmas Parade killer, who I'm not going to mention his name. You all know who he is. He went on trial and fired his lawyers and became his own lawyer and has daily mocked and ridiculed the judge, the justice system, the court, God, you, me, everybody. Basically stuck his big fat middle finger in our face every day during the trial and spit at us and laughed at us every day. The closing week of the trial, the killer piled boxes, obscuring himself from the camera. And the judge once again sent him to his room. So the judge, the nanny judge, would get upset with him and she would send him to another room and make him appear in court via video feed because she couldn't give him a spanking. So she put him in timeout. And the little brat got more and more courageous in his rebellion as the timeouts went on and on. Until finally he literally dropped documents and stacked cardboard boxes in front of his monitor so that no one could see him, and then he just started screaming at the top of his lungs. And the judge just had to sit there and tap her finger and wait the brat out. Now, he was on trial for 67 charges after allegedly driving a vehicle into the Waukesha Christmas parade. Now, listen to how the report... This is the Daily Caller, by the way. Now, this is supposedly a right-wing news source, the Daily Caller, founded by Tucker Carlson and other allegedly conservative people. Listen to how they report this. After allegedly driving a vehicle into the Waukesha Christmas parade with six people losing their lives and many others being hurt. So a prime example of modern urinalism right there in the Daily Caller. He drove into the Christmas parade with six people losing their lives. Kind of gentle, soft way to say that he ran them down and killed them. He crushed them. And many other people being hurt. As if, well, they might have just tripped. Or they, maybe they walked into a lamppost. They happened to be hurt while he was driving into the allegedly driving into the parade where people were losing their lives. Just disgusting. Disgusting. All right. So he drove like a madman into a Christmas parade of children and old women and slaughtered them and crushed them. Is what he did. And he wounded the ones who didn't die. They were horribly wounded, disfigured for life. He's a maniac. And he just mocked us in this trial. It made me sick. I want to get a hold of his neck with my own hands. Oh, by the way, he listed his mother as a witness, but she did not testify. So the Daily Caller wants to kind of give him 3 degrees of separation from responsibility for slaughtering people, but his own mother wouldn't even show up. His own mother probably had enough of him. All right, so the trial is over, and he was found guilty. Now, he has not yet been sentenced. Why? I don't know. Because the system is a joke, that's why. And by the way, and I think I've already said this, but I'm going to reiterate it. When this maniac started disrupting the court, the judge should have had him put to death. The judge should have had the authority to put him to death for disrupting the court and disrespecting the court. But the court has no respect for itself. And so the court would never think themselves to have the authority to put anyone to death for disrespecting them. Why? Because they're a bunch of lying perverts that run the courts. All the judges and the lawyers, they're a bunch of perverts. They're corrupt and vile and vulgar, and they hate themselves. And they're not confident of their own capacity for justice, so they would certainly never deem themselves to have the authority to do anything related to anything at all, having anything to do with justice. So the maniac, the Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade maniac killer was found guilty. How do we know he was guilty? He wore a mask during the whole trial. That was one key. Anyway, we know he was guilty because we had the video and the eyewitness testimony of the hundreds of people who watched him kill all those people that day. That's how we know. Well, he was found guilty, and what that means is he will now get to mock the state of Wisconsin, the nation, and God, and all of us to our faces for another 20 or 30 years. That's what him being found guilty means. He'll get to be a brat and throw a tantrum in front of us all for another 20 to 30 years, unless justice finds him accidentally in prison. My guess is there is someone in the prison where he's going to go who has enough confidence in their sense of justice to know that a guy who drives through a parade and kills a bunch of kids and old ladies, he needs to be killed. My guess is there's someone in prison who knows that. Now, the judge doesn't know it. The lawyers don't know it. The district attorney doesn't know it. The governor doesn't know it. The president of the United States doesn't know it. But there's someone in prison there in Wisconsin who does know it. He probably doesn't have a law degree, but he does understand justice. And he may find him accidentally, and that's the only way this guy gets justice on this side of eternity. Now, from there, we go into the politics file. Now, this is a chilling story. True the Vote, who I mentioned earlier, Greg Phillips of True the Vote, and Katherine Engelbrecht, who put together the movie, The 2,000 Mules, that showed us how the election was stolen right there in front of God and everybody. They're involved in a trial. Let me see here. The trial is related to their allegations about the election theft. And they will be, Katherine Engelbrecht and Greg Phillips of True the Vote will be arrested by United States Marshals if they do not reveal the names of their confidential sources in a court by Monday morning. Judge Kenneth Michael Hoyt, Southern District of Texas, is presiding. A reporter in the courtroom said that Hoyt gave True the Vote a deadline of Monday at 9 a.m. The judge inquired about a January 2021 meeting with Phillips and a hacker. The man, that hacker, is now in hiding after his name was released in court last Thursday. The judge has demanded to know the name of every single person who has seen the data related to the Connect China server connection. So I don't know the details of all this because I just found out about this before we go to air here. I wasn't aware there was a trial. I wasn't aware there was a China server connection that was being talked about in court. I didn't know that. But the two people from True the Vote who showed us how the election was stolen are about to be arrested because they won't give their sources to the judge. The judge, by the way, is employed by the opposition forces. That's right. The United States government at this point, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, has to be viewed as hostile to justice. Then we have a statement from Katherine Engelbrecht. She says, no matter what happens to us, do not take your eyes off the midterms. Encourage people to vote and keep the faith. All right. Well, keep the faith, Katherine, is good advice. Keep your eyes on the midterms. If the Democrats are not shellacked in embarrassing fashion in the coming election, I mean, all bets are off because, I mean, all hell's going to break loose. All hell might break loose. So I'm keeping my eyes on that. Encourage people to vote. I don't know. Not so much. I'm not voting. I'd rather not participate in such a corrupt and just delusional scheme that we're going to be able to seize back control of our government from the forces of darkness and the Chinese communists. We're going to be able to do that with a vote? You think so? How naive can you be? I don't think so. But I do agree, Catherine. Keep the faith. Worldview. Thanks for sticking with us. We're running out of time and we're not running out of news. We go to reason number 2000 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Quite a milestone. Reason number 2000. Building on the original 666 reasons that were observed by myself and the late, great Bob Enyart back in the late 1990s. We come to reason number 2000. The court in Indiana has upheld another court's decision to remove from a family their child because the parents did not acknowledge their child's transgender identity. Refusal to go along with the child's gender identity constituted abuse, said the court, and they took the child out of the house. The parents had filed an appeal against an order claiming the trial court's order violated their constitutional rights to care, custody, and control of their child, violated their constitutional right to exercise their religion, and violated their constitutional right to freedom of speech. That's what the lawyers filed on behalf of the parents. The Department of Child Services, a Soviet-style organ, had received a report that the mother was verbally and emotionally abusing the 16-year-old child by using rude and demeaning language toward the child regarding the child's gender identity. And as a result, the child had thought of self-harm. My mom is being mean to me. Stop or I'll hurt myself. And so where did the report come from? The report to the Department of Child Services? It came from the government schools. So this is reason number 2000 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. They will conspire with the demented, deranged, criminally insane sex perverts to actually seize your children. That's reason number 2000. DCS, the Department of Child Services, the Soviet-style organ, received another report 10 days later alleging that the parents do not accept the child's transgender identity. The abuse was getting worse. The parents were being mean due to the child's transgender identity. And so a family case manager, an FCM, that's FCM stands for Soviet Commissar. The FCM investigated the matter and issued a PIR, a preliminary inquiry report. Am I living in the Soviet Union? This is like a military operation against your kids. It involves a DCS and an FCM issuing a PIR. The PIR from the FCM revealed the child had been suffering from an eating disorder. The parents had withdrawn the child from school. Took him away from the school. And they had not indicated that they were going to re-enroll the child in a new school. Where are you going to put your child? Which school? You can't take your child out of our school. The child did not feel safe at home. The child wanted to come back to school. And so they got him back. The child is now age 17 and is apparently a homeless, mentally deranged homosexual boy. And this is the desired outcome of the modern educational organs, the public schools, the DCS, the FCM, and their PIR. This is the outcome. We want a homeless, mentally deranged homosexual boy. That is the goal. And we used to laugh at the gross national product because they just couldn't read or write. Now the gross national product has gotten even grosser. Now the gross national product, the successful packaged final product of the government schools, is a mentally disturbed, homeless, homosexual boy. Reason number 2000 to get or keep your children out. We go from there to the decline and fall file where a Thai transgender activist, that's from Thailand, has purchased the Miss Universe organization for some amount of money. Who cares? They published the amount of money like I'm supposed to. What am I supposed to read that and go, wow, that's a lot of money. I want to read the story. Who cares how much the pervert paid for Miss Universe? The pervert's name is Chakrapong Chakratukatabatab. And it controls JKN Global Group Public Company Limited. It is a celebrity in Thailand and is outspoken about being a transgender woman, meaning he's a man. So a transgender woman, that's a man. Dressing up like a woman, pretending to be a woman, perhaps even getting surgical procedures and taking drugs and hormones to be more like a woman, but it's a man. So a guy, a creepy, deranged pervert, purchased the Miss Universe organization is the bottom line. The Miss Universe pageant is broadcast in 165 countries. It's also a lightly veiled striptease show, by the way. In a statement, Chakra described the purchase as a strong strategic addition to our portfolio. And our, is that like the company or is that a preferred, like they and them? I have no idea. And a profile of Chakra in a Bangkok newspaper said that in his youth, he studied at an all-male school. Why? Because he was a boy. He says he was harassed there for identifying as female. As you could well imagine might happen in an all-male school when you start identifying as a female. Yes, probably going to face some harassment. The sexually deranged maniac spent $1 million on sex reassignment surgery and other procedures and is now hell-bent on destroying. He's hell-bent on destroying civilization and killing himself. Well, I added that last part, but he is hell-bent. All right, so there you go, the decline and fall file. We go from there to the war file, where Democrat Representative Jamie Raskin, a Democrat from Maryland, released a statement after 30 progressive Democrats had issued a letter asking the United States government to negotiate peace between Russia and Ukraine. They had issued, they had written a letter. And now they had to issue another letter backtracking on their letter where they had asked Joe Biden to negotiate peace with Vladimir Putin. Raskin said, quote, Moscow right now is a world center of anti-feminist, anti-gay, anti-trans hatred, as well as the homeland of replacement theory for exports. So Jamie Raskin just confirmed what I've suspected is one of the drivers of this insane war against Vladimir Putin is that he won't bow to the faggots. Vladimir Putin is an old-fashioned demagogue and criminal. He will kill you. He will steal your money. He will enslave you and your family for generations. He will not rape your children. And it bothers him that a bunch of people who rape children are forcing countries on his border to join them in the rape and the molestation of children. That bothers Vladimir Putin. So he goes on, Jamie Raskin, this communist piece of garbage, just a pervert criminal. He says Moscow is a hub of corrupt tyranny, censorship, authoritarian repression, police violence, propaganda, government lies, disinformation, and planning for war crimes. In supporting Ukraine, we are opposing these fascist views and supporting the urgent principles of democratic pluralism. Ukraine is not perfect, of course, says Raskin, but it's a society organized on radically different principles of democracy and freedom. Really? Hey, Jamie, Putin's not perfect either, but he's not for drag queen story hour. So you think you have the right to be offended that Putin wants to take Crimea or whatever there in eastern Ukraine, but I don't have the right to be offended against drag queen story hour? I tell you what, Jamie, you've got your priorities crossed up, my friend. By the way, folks, back in February, the head of Britain's MI6, Richard Moore, suggested that a large part of the war in Ukraine was about, quote, LGBT rights. He said it himself. I'm sure I reported on it. So the maniac sex perverts who run NATO, by the way, NATO's just a giant sex pervert organization. That's all it is. Built around the generation and exportation of pornography and filth and corruption. And the average Russian, Vladimir Putin included, has every right to be afraid of it and to fight against it. Anyway, no more from that. Now we go into the World War III file, where the Kremlin, Zero Hedge reports that the Kremlin is raising the issue of Ukraine forces plotting a dirty bomb false flag attack. So the Russians say that something nuclear is about to blow up. It's going to be the Ukrainians who do it, and they're going to blame the Russians. It's going to be NATO who does it, actually, and they're going to blame the Russians. At the same time, Ukraine's nuclear energy agency has counter-alleged that Russia could be preparing for a terrorist act with radioactive materials from an occupied power plant. The White House here in America has rejected allegations from Moscow of a dirty bomb plot by Ukrainians and NATO, saying, quote, "It's just not true. We know it's not true," unquote, says the White House. So who do you believe? So you got the Ukrainians who are a puppet. You've got the Russians who are just an old-fashioned dictator criminal organization. And then you got the White House who wants to rape and molest your children. Who do you believe? It's pretty bad, right? Well, the White House says we know it's not true. How do we know? How do we know it's not true? We just know it's not true. Says John Kirby, spokesman for the National Security Council. Listen to John Kirby. "In the past, the Russians have on occasion blamed others for things that they were planning to do. And we know what that's all about because we're experts at it. We do it all the time." Oh, I added that last part. False projections. They're the experts at it. False projections against your political adversaries about things that you're doing, like voter suppression and stealing elections and faking elections. All right. And blowing up pipelines, by the way. I think I didn't get to see the story, but I believe it's been pretty much unequivocally proven that NATO forces blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, as if that was shocking, as if that wasn't obvious. Meanwhile, deeper into the war file, 30 House Progressive Democrats issued a complete retraction of their letter sent to Biden. Oh, this is the actual retraction. Well, the letter, you see, it was drafted several months ago, but it was unfortunately it was released by staff without proper vetting. As chair of the caucus, I accept responsibility for this, even though I just mentioned the staff and actually blamed them. Who wrote this atrocity? This is the chair of the Democrat Progressive Caucus. Who is it? It just says the chair. So this is written by a chair because nobody wants to take responsibility. "Democrats have strongly and unanimously voted for every package of military and economic assistance to the Ukrainian people." The Ukrainian people. Are you kidding me? You expect me to believe that you believe that the bombs and the bullets and the dollars are going to the Ukrainian people? Unbelievable. The retraction concludes with this statement: "Every war ends with diplomacy, and this one will too, after Ukrainian victory." Okay. You know, I've noticed something over my relatively short sojourn here on the planet. That Democrats always call for diplomacy when good guys are demolishing bad guys, right? But when the bloodshed serves their devious ends, they will pay top dollar to sponsor it. And that's the leftist mindset. If the good guys are winning, we all need to calm down and stop and negotiate. But they'll fund the bloodshed to the tune of a billion. That's the innocent babies they slaughter. Forget the Ukrainian children being blown to bits because of these maniacs. All right, finally, is this finally? I don't know if it's, yeah, this is probably finally. Wow. Oh. So Paul Pelosi is struck in the head with a hammer and he doesn't die. So I heard the story, and I'm like, this is a weird story. Like, how do you hit an 80-year-old guy in the head with a hammer and not kill him? I mean, so I was questioning, just is this just a, a barometer of the state of masculinity in America that the average criminal can't even kill an 80-year-old guy with a hammer? So I know it's kind of dark that I think like that, but I really don't like Paul Pelosi. So it's hard for me to sit here and say, oh, how horrible, this poor 80-year-old guy was hit in the head with a hammer. I think Paul Pelosi probably should have been put to death 50 years ago for the crimes that he's perpetrated against civilization, crimes against humanity. So I can't relate to feeling any sorrow for Paul Pelosi being hit in the head with a hammer. But it was just a strange story. First of all, that somebody broke into his house. How do you break into Paul Pelosi's house? His wife's the Speaker of the House. I would imagine they have a security system. Probably more than just like a Ring doorbell and a dog, right? Do you think? Anyway, so we don't know what happened except that Paul Pelosi's ultra-secure house was, well, there was a guy there. And he was in his underwear, but no, now they're saying he wasn't in his underwear. And Paul Pelosi at first said I don't know who this guy is, but then he said, oh, his name's Dave. Oh, he's a friend of mine. And then it turns out that the guy is probably a homosexual male prostitute. Maybe, possibly, but we don't know. And it might be that Paul Pelosi is a homosexual who picks up prostitutes and we don't know about any of that. One thing we do know is that this guy is obviously a MAGA right winger and a QAnon, probably participated in the January 6th protests. And because he was not able to successfully carry off the insurrection, he decides to attack Paul Pelosi at 2 o'clock in the morning in his underwear with a hammer. Very strange story. We don't know. The bottom line is we'll know more if this guy who, now it's already documented that the guy who hit him with the hammer, we have his name here. Let me see. His name is David DePape. He is he was a Castro District nudist. He belonged to an organization. That's been established. And he has written some sort of manifesto, if you can believe any of that. A former Berkeley resident, a Castro nudist protester, and a hemp jewelry maker. So those are the things that he's been connected to reliably via social media and whatnot. As far as if he's actually a prostitute from the Castro, that'll never come out. He'll be dead before that comes out. But anyway, we wish Paul Pelosi the speediest of recoveries so we can get to the bottom of all that. And hopefully he hasn't lost any of his memory. That would be sad. That would just be sad. All right. Now, so that was something I could have closed with. Hunter Biden had a secretary named Jackie, who's, believe it or not, may be linked to the Chinese Communist government. Oh, no way. There's no way that could be true. Yeah, so Representative James Comer, a Republican from Kentucky, he's on the House Oversight Committee. You know what that means? That means he's an impotent cardboard cutout, also most likely linked to the Chinese government in some way. And he's going to get to the bottom of this, says James Comer. Uh-huh. He's demanding information from the FBI director about the Biden family links to China. And then they're all just laughing. They're like, sure, we'll get right. Anyway, so far it's crickets from the FBI. Believe it or not, they're not going to spill the beans on Biden to the Republicans. Shock of all shocks. Let's see. We've got, yeah, it's no longer the FBI. Uh-huh. It's now the People's Bureau of Investigation.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they're not going to share intelligence or intelligence resources with the Americans, for crying out loud. Why would they do that? Do I want to do this from the decline and fall file? Samantha Brinton is the deputy assistant secretary. That's almost like a made-up job title, the deputy assistant secretary. I mean, we might need a deputy secretary. We might even need an assistant secretary. You know, somebody has to go shop for the secretary's socks. But do we really need a deputy assistant secretary? Well, we have one. It's Samantha. Let's see. Samantha is the deputy assistant secretary for spent fuel and waste disposition for the U.S. Department of Energy. Wow, that's an apt descriptor for American masculinity. Spent fuel and waste disposition. Uh-huh. Anyway, Samantha is the first openly gender-fluid person to work in the federal government. Yay! Applause. We've reached another milestone. Samantha is all of that and expects us to call her Sam as if she's a guy. Now, listen, this is from Yahoo.com. This is where the average brain-dead American gets their news. The reporter says they graduated from Kent State University with a BS degree. with a BS degree in nuclear engineering, vocal music, and then earned a dual MS degrees in nuclear engineering, technology, and policy from MIT. Ooh, so if BS means BS, MS must mean more S degree. Anyway, here's what Samantha says. I never saw myself out there. There was not a single professor of my life that has ever looked like me. There's never been a person in any of my jobs who looked like me. Unquote. Says Samantha. You know, like me. You know, like an obviously mentally deranged sex pervert. There just weren't enough. There weren't many of those out there. I didn't run across them every day. We used to be fairly rare, us deviant perverts. So, but now Samantha says that they joined the Department of Energy. Since they joined the Department of Energy, other employees have come out as non-binary. I've gotten to end conversion therapy in parts of the country. And I've also gotten to now solve the nuclear waste challenges of the world. And those are both parts of my life. They're not one or the other. I get to be them all. We don't have to grow up to be one thing. We can grow up and change as many parts of the world as possible with the gifts that we've been given. The reporter says, quote, I'm solving problems I've wanted to solve for a really long time. And now I have the power and the privilege to make a difference. Says the first openly gender fluid, whatever that is. That means slipping and sliding to hell faster than others, being a fluid. And so we go to the Hell on Earth file where we're going to check in South Korea. Wow. At least 150 people dead that we know of so far, mostly young people in their 20s and 30s who got trapped and crushed. There's a huge Halloween party. The crowd surged into a narrow alley in Itaewon, Seoul, South Korea. People on the scene call it a hell-like chaos. As people fell on each other like dominoes, some people were bleeding from their noses and mouths while being given CPR. While others, wearing their Halloween costumes, continued to sing and dance nearby, possibly without knowing the severity of the situation. Just awful, horrible. And so I lived in Korea for about a year, over a year. I've been to Itaewon. And I don't remember Halloween being a big thing, I was in Japan or Korea. Halloween wasn't a thing. In fact, here from the article from Breitbart, Halloween isn't a traditional holiday in South Korea, but it's become a major attraction for young adults in recent years. So Halloween, what's the attraction with the death and the terror and the fear? Is there some? Yeah, I guess there is some dark attraction that as civilization slips into the hands of the madmen, the young people whose minds have been polluted and corrupted, they become more and more attracted to this dark holiday, which was, in America, it was always like a third-tier holiday. I mean, certainly wasn't, like now it's like the whole month of October is Halloween month. Halloween was just barely mentioned to let you know that Thanksgiving was on the way. It was kind of the way I knew it growing up. Now it's become something big and dark and evil, and it took The dark forces that are promoting Halloween took their pound of flesh in Itaewon this past weekend. And it's just horrible. Anyway, we don't celebrate Halloween here at the McBurney compound. And if you do, we don't like that you do. And we'd rather that you didn't. And so there, we're just going to say, and if that offends you, good. You should be offended, because sometimes getting offended is the first step toward realizing that you have a problem. And so that's it for the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio. And of course, my other brother Daryl, who's still listening, possibly off on the other side of eternity, should the Lord tarry. We will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you. Oh, thank you, hon. Sorry.